Shalom, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Daily Devotion. This is Brother Justin Zima, welcoming you all. Pardon me, this morning my voice is quite hoarse. I hope you can get me clearly. Let us go back to the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we are still looking at the first commandment. Today I want us to look at the aspect of the soul that the Bible is mentioning. I just want to define what the soul is and basically outline four elements that pertain to the soul with regards to the scriptures, or four descriptions rather of what a soul is and what a soul needs. Yeah, and what the soul encounters, and sometimes the state that the soul can be in. Amen. All right, so now, Brother Branham mentioned that the soul is the nature of the spirit. And he mentioned that a human being is made up of a soul, a spirit, and a body. And we know that the body has got five senses, that is touch, smell, hear, taste, feel. But the soul also has senses. I hope I've gotten them right. There should also be five. Memory, imagination, affection, reasoning, and conscience. So conscience, it's spelled like conscience. Yeah, there's conscious and conscious. They are both pronounced the same. So the one that we may read as conscience, that's the conscience I'm talking about. So these are the five elements that make up the soul. And now, what exactly is the soul? So if we read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that's where the word soul is first used. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So a soul is a living entity. A soul is you. It's that inherent part of you that gives you the characteristics that we are able to tell. The way you talk, the way you do things, your preferences, what makes you be able to be aware of your environment, that's the soul. And you can remember things, you can imagine things. You have affection. You know that it's good to help people. It's good to do this. You reason. You know what is right and what is wrong. A dog doesn't have reasoning. A dog uses its instincts. A dog, as long as it's not trained, it can still do toilet in the house because it doesn't reason. Okay, it's nature. Then the conscience, what gives us the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. And that is where the atheists get it wrong, because materialists, what we call materialists and atheists, these people believe there's matter is all there is. A human being is just made up of atoms and what. So they deny this, and that's where they get it wrong, because there is another dimension to what we see with our physical eyes and all that. Now, then there's a spirit, and the spirit has two senses, like Brother Branham said. He said the spirit either has faith or it has doubt. All right. But my area of concern is the soul. So we've seen that a soul is a living entity. Genesis 2:7. Now, the soul, just like the body, needs to eat. Now, the soul needs to feed. Now, if you look at life, brothers and sisters, we see human beings in a state that they are in, activities that we do. Largely, every activity that drives human emotion, human activity and influence, ultimately, it is to satisfy the soul. And because the soul has been designed to feed on something, so human beings do a lot of things to satisfy the soul. And when you are a Christian, there is a thirst, there is an appetite, there is a desire in your soul that seeks to feed from its source. When someone is not a believer, they also feed, but they feed from a different source. And you can tell what a soul feeds on by its characteristics, how it behaves, how it relates to the environment, how it relates to others. You can tell what the soul is feeding on. Now, let us have an example from the Bible. So, the soul has an appetite. If you're a believer, it will have an appetite for God. If we look at Psalms 42, Psalms chapter 42, as their heart panteth as after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat all day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holiday. This is David. So, the soul of a human being, have you seen? It feeds on God. If you are a believer and if you are a child of God, your life will be longing every morning, every day, it will be longing to feed from its source. David is saying he was longing for the Lord. And can you imagine, he was not just longing to have a time of prayer, but he knows that the soul needs a balanced diet. Apart from eating on its own at home, it was longing to go for fellowship. And he was longing for what? For those, the multitude. What kind of a multitude with them? I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday. Now, this is a multitude that kept the holiday, meaning kept the day of the Lord, which is holy. So, believers, that's our desire, that we should not give up coming together the way we've come together for the daily devotion and all these wonderful things, because that is what our soul is supposed to do. And Proverbs 25, verse 25, look at this. Proverbs 25, 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Brothers and sisters, can you remember what happened to you? The first time that this message was broken down to you. The first time that you heard this pure word, without the controversy people are putting there, but just the message itself, the scriptures, these new revelations of this age by the prophet messenger that the Lord sent to us, the seventh prophet messenger, when this bread was broken to us, what happened to you? You were like someone in a desert, someone who was dry, someone who was empty, someone who was lacking. For me, I used to go to church, I used to sing, but I was empty. I was a Pentecostal. I would shout, I would fast, I would do all these things, I would quote scriptures, but there was still something lacking. But when the food came, my soul was just inside of me. The soul came to life. Inside of me, the soul was given life. And that's what happened to you. That's what happened to me. There was something. And every morning when you wake up, there's something in your soul that wants to feed. When you play a sermon, when you go to church, there is something in your soul, because it has to feed. Hallelujah. Now remember, your soul is a living entity. Just like in the physical, your soul also has enemies. So it's good to feed, but it's good to feed carefully. It's like an antelope that is feeding in the bush. Yes, in as much as it may love the greens, it also has to be aware of its environment. So we are warned in the book of Peter, 1 Peter. If we open the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So your enemies, brothers and sisters, are your fleshly lusts. Your enemies are not very far. Your enemies are not, yes, witches could be enemies. Thieves and criminals, all these things who do all these things can be enemies. People who gossip about you in your workplace can be your enemies. But remember, your real enemy, the actual one that you have to deal with, is your fleshly lusts. So that is why when with your body, you keep an eye on it all the time. All the time you keep yourself. The way Apostle Paul said, I check myself lest after preaching to others, I be disqualified. And I die daily. I mortify the members of the flesh. So the battle is on until the day the Lord comes. If the Lord tarries, until the day you go to the grave, you will always fight. So your flesh is never your friend. So be aware of that. That's the danger you have to be aware of. And 2 Peter, let's look at what happened. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter 2, 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So here it's telling us that adultery, so it's just confirming that these things, adultery, beguiling unstable souls, they go through this. Why? Because that's the enemy, you know. And they have exercised covetous practices, cursed children. So covetousness, adultery, all these are members that are warring against your soul. Now, when you are not careful and when these enemies succeed, your soul becomes sick. It becomes unhealthy. Let's look at Job 3. Job chapter 3. Your soul becomes very unhealthy. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3 verse 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. What makes a soul bitter? Now, brothers and sisters, inasmuch as the soul can be watered by the word of God, you know, there's that beautiful feeling you feel, that excitement. It's beyond emotion and happiness. It's just something that goes deep into your soul when you hear the word of God that has been revealed, the revealed word of God. But when you hear the opposite, when you're always hearing from sources that are not right, from the garbage can, from denominations, from tradition, from religion, your soul will not feed. It will become unhealthy. And when a soul is unhealthy, one of the manifestations is that it becomes bitter. When a soul doesn't have life, it becomes bitter, like the water which is not fresh. So light is given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul. So you need life. Isaiah 58 verse 10. Isaiah 58. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and to satisfy the afflicted, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. So, if your soul is drawing out to help the hungry and the thirsty, when you take the word of God to those who don't have it, there's a beautiful feeling. There's a wonderful feeling. You can also help someone physically, but here I'm interested in the spiritual part. When you satisfy the hungry and the thirst and the afflicted soul, when you satisfy them with the word of God, you give them the word in its purity, in its fullness, your light is going to rise in obscurity. Sometimes you may be discouraged. Sometimes you may be depressed. As a believer, you're not having joy. Why? Because there is an exercise you don't do. But when you take out and bring the word of God to somebody, sometimes when you're at your workplace, you know, sometimes in workplaces, just pray. Ask the Lord that, Lord, give me an opportunity. Don't be too familiar with people at your workplace. Ask the Lord that, Lord, give me an opportunity to strike a conversation so that I bring in the light. Because, you know, sometimes we are sometimes so busy, so conservative. Sometimes we become ashamed of the gospel. But brothers and sisters, we should not be ashamed of Christ. Let us show that wherever you see a situation and an opportunity, because the people that you see, no matter how they look confident, no matter how they look well-doing, as if they are sustaining, they've got no life inside of them. They are dying. They are decomposing. Others just keep up appearances. But we have the light. Let us ask the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity to be a light to them. Give me an opportunity to share the word of God to them. And that's how God works. That's how the Lord works. And it's really a wonderful thing. So the soul can be unhealthy if it's not guided by the Spirit of God. And then the sower also gets life. James 5:20. The sower gets, there are souls which are dying, but the soul can still get saved. James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So, saving a sinner from death, we shall save them from that. So, brothers and sisters, let your soul at all time delight in Christ. Let it delight in your word. Let what is at the bottom and the root of your soul be to please the Lord, to stand on him, to walk with him, to build with him. Let your soul be healthy at all time. Don't allow your soul to be bitter. Don't allow your soul to be sick. Don't allow your soul to be afflicted. Afflictions of the soul, they come from the lack of the word of God. When the word is not there, because your soul is designed to eat, let it not be afflicted, but let it be healthy. Let it stay. Let it feed. Let it build on God's word. Let it build. Have prayer. Have all this conditions that will give it life. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, stay blessed. Amen.